As you're finding your seats, I want to encourage you to find your place in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, it's found on page 1246 if you're using the Journey Bible that's provided there for you. We'll be working through several verses in Matthew 6. When I was a kid, strangely, I loved going to the doctor. I mean, isn't that weird? It wasn't the tongue depressor and saying, ah. It certainly wasn't the shots that you would get periodically. Although I did kind of find that little reflex thing kind of fun and amusing when they'd smack your kneecap. The reason I loved going to the doctor was because when I walked in the waiting room, I knew waiting for me was Highlights Magazine. And in Highlights Magazine was the best page of all called Hidden Pictures. And somewhere in this picture of pigs picking out pumpkins, there is hidden things like a spatula or a straw. And we would dig through that Highlights Magazine and try to find all of those hidden items before the doctor called you in. It was such fun. Now, I have to admit that there were times, we should probably take that off the screen before everybody's looking for the hidden items and pay no attention to me. I know how it works. It's very addictive. But sometimes I would leave the doctor's office crying. And the reason I was crying had nothing to do with the doctor. I would get there and I would rush to the Highlights Magazine and I would open it up and some kid had gotten there before me and circled all of the hidden items. And there was nothing to search for. A travesty. There should be a rule against this. When I had kids, many years later, they had something similar that you might be familiar with. It's Where's Waldo? Does anybody remember Waldo? This is kind of an upgrade of the Highlights Magazine. The next picture shows what might look like Petoskey State Park, in the summertime. And first of all, it's in color, so there's an upgrade. And you're spending the whole time trying to find Where's Waldo. But it's really distracting because as you're looking for Waldo in all these small little places, you start finding other little cool things that the artist has put in there. And you after a while, you forget about finding Waldo and you're trying to figure out what's going on. Why is it that we like these little puzzles where we search for something? Why are they so appealing? I think that because at some level, every one of us is seeking something. On a regular basis, we're searching. You might be at home flipping through pins on Etsy or Pinterest looking for that next best decorator item. Maybe you're at work looking for profits through a spreadsheet. Or maybe you're traveling the world in the seven seas because everybody's looking for something. For Christ and his followers, it's not a mystery. We are looking too for something, but we have been told what to look for, which is great. In Matthew chapter 6, we have our key verse for this series that we're starting today. Matthew 6:31 says this, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after or seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well." So what is it you are seeking in life? What are you running after? And the bigger question is, why? Why that? So we start a new series today. There'll be four more messages in this short series called Seek First, Finding God's Kingdom Purpose. And like Jesus, I want to call you to be a kingdom seeker. What is a kingdom seeker? In short, kingdom seekers bring the reign of Christ to every realm of life. We're seeking to bring the reign, the rule, God bringing and having sway in our lives to every realm, to every area of life. So we're going to look at four different spheres of influence, or four realms, if you will, over the next few weeks. We'll be talking about bringing the kingdom into our homes, because everything starts at home. Whether you're single or a family or a couple, who you are and what you do when nobody's looking, that's really the foundation of everything else. Is Jesus king of your home? If not, what is ruling? What reigns there? Is it a person? Is it a certain pursuit? Is it just chaos and busyness? That's my home. We're going to be looking at the sphere of community. You have been placed in the neighborhood you live, in the town you live, in the county you live, for a purpose. You think you chose to live there. I think God chose for you to live there for reasons you may not yet know. To let your light shine. When you're going to the grocery store, when you're going to school, when you're going out to check your mail, it's not just about those things. It's about being light in the community that God has placed you. That's what a kingdom seeker is thinking about. We'll be looking at the sphere of work as well. Many of us spend most of our lives at work. Can work be more than just a paycheck? Something you have to get up every morning, I gotta go to work, gotta go make the donuts. Can it be more than that? Can it be more than the ego boost I get from feeling like I'm accomplishing something? Yes, you have a kingdom purpose every day that you go to work. And maybe it has something to do with the people you work with, not just the product you produce. And finally, we'll be looking at the realm of play. Play. In my office down the hall there, I get to look out the window and I can see the Ottawa playground where kids go out there and play every day, and it brings me great joy. We grow up. We don't get rid of playgrounds. They just change. We all have our adult playgrounds. It may not have a swing set and a slide, but it maybe has a television and sports and our favorite streams, our hobbies. Maybe it's working out. Eating is a great time of play. Is it possible to do all of these things unto the Lord? Because God created us to rest and to play and enjoy His creation. How do we bring kingdom influence to play? In all of these things, we'll be applying this principle. Kingdom seekers bring the reign of Christ to every realm of life. So do you want to be a kingdom seeker? If you're a Christ follower, you are called to be a kingdom seeker. But where do you start? Where do you begin? Just as a subject comes before a king and bows, that's where we begin. We begin on our knees. Kingdom seeking begins with prayer, specifically what I call alignment prayer. Alignment prayer. So before we get deeper into verse 33, that key verse that I read earlier, I want to go earlier in the chapter so we get a kind of a flow of what Jesus is talking about. And earlier in chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray. And he says this. In verse 9 of chapter 6, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven." Your kingdom come, your will be done. That's an alignment prayer. That's when you start your day, whether it's, you know, actually saying those words or just in your spirit. Lord, your kingdom come. Today I want your will to be done. It's a prayer of surrender, or again, what I'm calling alignment, asking God to hold sway in every sphere, every realm of my life. It's acknowledging that there really is only one king, isn't there? There is only one king, and there really is only one will worthy of following, and there is only one that gives life, and I want to align my day with him. It's praying heaven into these places on earth that we spend so much time. And I'm talking not just a quick mumble prayer. I'm talking about real earnest prayer. Talking with God before you go seeking so that when you go seeking, you can seek with confidence and expectation that God has gone before you. And here's what will happen. The first thing God will do is change you. So this is a dangerous prayer. This is a courageous prayer. When we ask for God's kingdom to come and his will be done, we are aligning ourselves with his purposes, with his priorities, with his will. And so before we pray the kingdom of God into our world, we need to start by praying the kingdom of God into our own heart, into our own hearts. Because bad things will happen when we're not in alignment with the king. Now, I had an experience a number of years ago where I learned that when things aren't in alignment, bad things happen. I was living in the suburbs of Chicago. My wife's family was in Minnesota, and we had planned to take the kids, they were little at the time, on a trip up to see Grandma and Grandpa. And I had some work done on my Ford Tempo. It was in the shop. They had to replace the rack on the rack and pinion steering. It was a pretty big job. And so they promised me that, you know, it would be ready right after work, and then I was going to pick it up and put everybody in the car, and off to Minnesota we go. So after work, I got a ride to the shop to pick up the car, and it wasn't ready. And they said, sorry, you know, more complex than we thought, and we'll have it for you first thing in the morning. So first thing in the morning, I call them. No, not ready. Sometime after lunch. I'm kind of upset at this point because I'm on a mission to Minnesota. Yeah. Finally, mid-afternoon, I get the call. Your car's ready. I go over there. I reluctantly pay them that they didn't deserve all that money that it cost because they didn't have it ready on time. Got everybody in the car, got down the road, got on the highway, and I was not on the highway for probably 5 minutes before I realized something is very wrong with my car. If I let go of the steering wheel, I'd be in the ditch in 5 seconds. It was just, it was out of alignment. It was pulling really hard. But I'm fighting the steering wheel. I'm getting to Minnesota. So we're going down the highway, and I'm realizing, I'm not sure this is the smartest thing, but I'm getting to Minnesota. By the time I got to the border of Illinois and Wisconsin, I was getting kind of concerned, thinking, this can't be good for the car. By the time I got to central Wisconsin, I said, I better stop. And so we pulled over, and I looked at my tires, and one of them was completely bald in that amount of time, and the other one about half. I mean, I was just destroying these things, trying to keep my car going down the road when the two tires are going in different directions. So I pulled off. It was just getting to be the end of the work day. I found a mechanic in this town, and I pleaded with him. I'm on my way to Minnesota. Here's the story. I gave him all the details. Is there any way you can get me in and get this fixed up? He's reluctantly but graciously, thank you, Lord, said, I'll put you in first thing in the morning. So we chatted, checked into a hotel. I got there first thing in the morning, paid for an alignment, paid for two brand new tires on my car, eventually got to Minnesota a whole lot later than I was supposed to go. What did I learn from all this? Well, first of all, check that your car got aligned when your rack and pinion is worked on. But I also learned I can be really stubborn. Tammy probably already knew that, but I suddenly learned I can be really stubborn. And that stubbornness cost me a night in a hotel. It cost me the price of an alignment and two new tires. Had I just gone back and worked it out, it wouldn't have gone through all that. But more than anything, it was a valuable lesson. I learned that when you are not in alignment, bad things happen. And when we are not in alignment with God, we are fighting all the time the steering wheel. And things in our lives start falling apart. And here's the interesting thing. What I really realized is not only did my wheels need aligning, more than that, I needed aligning with God. My heart needed to change. And it wasn't in alignment with him. I was stuck on my mission without realizing I needed to walk with the King. Now, this happens to us regularly. We want things straightened out, just not us. God, when are you going to straighten out Washington? When are they going to get things right over there? God, why don't you straighten out my boss or my teacher or my kid or my spouse? When are you going to straighten all that out? And God says, let's start with prayer, alignment prayer. And let's get you and I going in the same direction first. That's where this will start. So I'm inviting you to courageous prayer, aligning your heart with God's kingdom purposes, discovering that when you go to work, it's maybe not about getting that better position. Maybe it's about encouraging the person who's working next to you. Maybe that's God's kingdom purpose today. Maybe you thought your purpose was to be on that sports team to score all the points. Instead, maybe God is pointing you to a friend who needs some encouragement, who needs to know more about Christ. So are you willing to be a kingdom carrier into every realm of your life? If so, it starts with prayer, alignment prayer. Seek first the kingdom of God. And there is great joy in doing this. There is great joy in fulfilling your purpose. The context of this passage is about overcoming worry and anxiety. It's like, why do you worry? The flowers and the birds aren't worried. The flowers are in alignment with God's purposes. So are the birds. The flowers are out there flowering. And the birds are out there flitting around and tweeting. That's what they do. And they're happy to do it. They're not seeking something else. See, the rose bush isn't trying to become a robin. And the dandelion isn't trying to grow taller than the maple tree. They're happy in their created purpose. And in so doing, they find joy. Do you find joy in living? Maybe it's because you're not aligned with God's creative purpose if you're not. So I want to invite you in this series to commit yourself to pray, God, show me your kingdom purposes. Commit yourself to pray, God, reveal to me where I need to align myself with you. Because if you do not come to this series week after week praying for God to reveal his kingdom purposes, you probably won't find them. They'll be lost in that colorful little Where's Waldo, and you'll be looking, but you won't find them without prayer. So you need to pray. In fact, I kind of want to say, if you're not going to commit yourself to praying and asking God to show you his kingdom, I kind of want to say, don't bother to come back. Can I say that as a pastor? That sounds heretical. Don't come to church. Let's just say, you're not going to get out of it what you need to get out of it if you're not spending some time in prayer. So it begins with alignment prayer. But what is it we're seeking? What do we do? The next step is this. Kingdom seekers pursue heart-healthy treasure. What is that? Kingdom seekers pursue heart-healthy treasure. I was working on verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And right away, this idea of seeking came to my mind, and the Highlights magazine, and sort of the idea of seeking treasure came to my mind, you know, pirates and that sort of thing. And I thought, ooh, we could talk about like a treasure map and seeking the kingdom of God like a treasure map where X marks the spot. And I thought, yeah, that's cheesy. No, we're not going to seek like treasure and all that kind of stuff. And so I was working on my message for a while. Then I went back and read through the whole chapter again, and I found halfway between the Lord's Prayer, seek first the kingdom, and this, praying for your kingdom to come, and then verse 33, seek first the kingdom. Halfway in between that, I found this, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I got so excited. It's talking about treasure. It's like a treasure map. I can talk about this. If it's cheesy, it's because Jesus was cheesy first. So we're going to follow his example. I think that works. Here's what Jesus is saying. Our heart resides with what we treasure most. Your heart resides with what you treasure most. The pirate treasure map says X marks the spot. Jesus says X marks your heart. That's where your heart is where your treasure is. Now, when I was a kid, I got somewhere very young a little wooden, about this size, little treasure chest. I think I got it at a garage sale. Here's a representation. We'll put that up on the screen. It looked about like this. And I had that on my dresser when I was a kid, and I would put all my little treasures in there, all kinds of little things that I found cool and interesting and important and valuable to me. And I had that on my dresser as a kid, and you know, as a middle schooler and as a high schooler and as a college student, and I just kept adding a little bit more grown-up little treasures to that. And then I got married. And I got this little wooden treasure box. Do you really put that on your dresser when you're married? Yes, you do! Sorry, ladies, but yes, I did for a while. It was up there on my dresser there for a little bit. And then we moved and we have a house, you know, and I decided, okay, maybe it's time to put away childish things. So eventually that treasure box went in a box, and that box went in the basement, which is where it is now. Still have it. But it's interesting to me that that treasure box went in a box, which went in a bigger box called my house, which many times is my new treasure chest. It's where I put all these things that I'm seeking after and valuing. And I wonder, have I grown out of childish things, or have I just gotten a bigger treasure chest in which to put all my earthly stuff that often distracts me from God? It kind of reminds me, if some of you have seen the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, the second Pirate of the Caribbean movie called Dead Man's Chest. In that, there's the story of Davy Jones, this creature that lives in the sea and sort of controls some of the sea. Davy Jones had betrayed his love named Calypso. And in order to no longer feel the grief and the guilt at what he had done, to no longer feel the emotion of love, he carved out his heart and put it in a treasure chest. Now, never explain how you can carve out your heart and still live, but it's a movie. So he carves out his heart, puts it in a treasure chest, and then buries it somewhere so he no longer has to feel all of this pain. Have you given away your heart to lesser things? Is your treasure somewhere over there? And those false treasures have given you pain and sorrow? In the movie, whoever finds that heart has control over Davy Jones. And I think sometimes when we put our treasure in earthly things, it allows the evil one to come in and have control over us instead of placing our heart on things that matter. Do you have a dead man's chest, empty of a real heart? A dead man's chest that's buried over there with treasures that don't please God and don't bring you eternal satisfaction? Is your heart given away to lesser things, and do those lesser things control you? Here's the good news. If you keep coming back week after week, we're going to go find that heart that you buried somewhere. We're going to put it back in your chest, and we're going to allow it to beat for God. The world says, follow your heart. Jesus says, place your heart somewhere that gives you life with things that really matter. So where is this eternal value? How do you find it? Well, we've discovered that kingdom seeking begins with courageous prayer. It's pursuing what is heart healthy, those kinds of treasures. And finally, you have to make a choice. If you're going to be a kingdom seeker, you need to choose what I call inconvenient eternal priorities. Inconvenient eternal priorities. We seek after the things of this world, and it's okay to do that to a point, right? The things in the passage are necessary things like food and clothing and shelter. But Jesus said the pagans, the unbelievers, run after that as if it's the main thing of life, but it's not. They're necessary, but not the most important. And they become a distraction for what lasts. So we seek first. See, the emphasis is on first. It's a priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness is the right way of living. His, back to his will. We're seeking his will. But I want to tell you, as you're doing this, here's what you'll find out over these few weeks. Kingdom priorities are often very inconvenient. They are. They're inconvenient, but they are what lasts. And I would suggest to you that almost on a daily basis, we're having to make decisions between what is convenient and desirable and comfortable but temporary, and what is inconvenient and yet everlasting. We had this come home to us just this last week. We've been doing some big DIY remodeling projects around our house over the last year, just doing a whole lot of stuff and kind of tackling bits and pieces as I have opportunity, and remodeled our master bathroom, but I've been waiting to have time to tile the bathtub surround. And so finally, I took a few days off the end of last week and got ready to, I'm going to tile, got everything prepped. And this last Monday was tile day. Like, I was going to have everything ready, and this day we're going to really get going on the tile. So while I was making all those preparations on the weekend before, we got a phone call from some friends, Mike and Katie Carpenter, and they wanted to stop by and visit. Now, Mike and Katie are just great friends. I actually knew him when he was in middle school. I was his pastor. And then he kind of grew up and kind of became this kind of crazy wild kid and kind of came back to the Lord. I mentored him in ministry, did his wedding. They took pictures in our backyard. I mean, we loved these people. He became an assistant pastor for me and said, hey, we're in the UP and we're going to be coming back down. Can we see you? And I said, great. When? Monday. Now, it wasn't actually that hard of a decision for us. We didn't hesitate. We grabbed the opportunity. We'd love to see you come on Monday. And so we were kind of getting ready Monday morning for them to show up, but there was this little nagging part of me that's going, but I could be tiling. Now, Mike is like 6'6". We're kind of an odd pair. And so my mind's doing things like, you know, if he gets here and I'm finishing the tiling, he could do that high up stuff for me. And I wouldn't even have to get on a ladder. And weird things are going in my mind, like, I wonder if their 6-year-old knows how to mix mortar. You think a 2-year-old could work a trowel? You know, these things are going in my head because I'm fighting between this over here and the what is, again, maybe more important. They came, we reconnected, we reinvested in one another, and it was so worth it. And I want to tell you, if they called me today and said, can we come back next Monday, i.e. tomorrow, which is now the new tiling day, I would say, yes, yes, in a heartbeat, because we were laying up treasure for eternity. Here's what I learned. What is important for eternity is often inconvenient on Mondays. What is eternal is often inconvenient in the now. Earthly things are always taking time from what matters most. But kingdom seekers take time for what matters most. See, if you are not regularly, purposefully, prayerfully kingdom seeking, your now will always be eclipsing your eternity until you get to the end of your life and run out of nows. And all that's waiting for you is whatever treasure you have laid up for eternity. Here's the great news. When we become kingdom seekers, when we prioritize the King and His will and His righteousness above all things, this is what the verse promised us in 6:33. That when we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all of these other things will be added to us as well. All those things that are tempting you to seek them, God will bring them in the right measure, in godly amounts, into your life, and He'll give you those too. Just don't make them what you're seeking. Don't make them your first priority. That's a matter of faith, isn't it? That's a matter of faith. That's a matter of trust that if I pursue God above all else, I won't miss out on life. Because we wrestle with that regularly. Yeah, I want to pursue God, but I don't want to miss out on life. So I'm going to pursue life, and we miss out on God. That's the choice that lies before us. Kingdom seekers bring the reign of Christ to every realm of life. And when I say we bring it, it's as seekers, we're not just trying to locate it, to look at it, to behold it. We're trying to bring it about. We're seeking the kingdom of God to bring about more of the kingdom in my home, bring out more of the kingdom in my community. My goal is to bring the kingdom to work with me, even to bring the kingdom principles to where I rest and where I play. I'm going to have Zach come up. We're going to work through the meal. Norm's going to lead us through this communion meal, and we'll spend a little time meditating on what we've learned today. But I want to finish by asking you a few questions. Are you a kingdom seeker? Is the kingdom what you're after above all else? To have God hold sway in your life, to rule in all of these realms, that everyone would look at you and know they serve one master, the Lord God, and His Son, Jesus Christ. Or to borrow from the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, if you had a compass that pointed to what it was you wanted most, to what you treasured most, where would it be pointing today? To some earthly pursuit or to bigger kingdom purposes? Where's your treasure? Where's your heart? I found that seeking Waldo, finding Waldo, where is he, is entertaining, but it has never changed my life. Not once. But when I seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, it's transformative. So our challenge to you is to pray alignment prayers over these next 4 weeks, to pursue what is life-giving and heart-healthy, and to choose eternal priorities, to bring the kingdom of God into every area of life.